Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Mike, aka Max, and you're listening to the Alternative View X on Blog Talk Radio. Today's show is Super Bowl Sunday, but sorry, folks, I'm not much of a sports fan myself. I may be watching the football game later on this afternoon or evening, whenever it's on. But today is going to be about the Bible, so I hope you have your Bible ears tuned and ready to hear from the Word of God. And I'm going to be talking today about regeneration, and I've titled this show Regeneration or Rumination. And it's kind of funny how we can sort of get stuck on biblical doctrines in our own mind and kind of have them, which can be a good thing, because it actually leads us to sort of filter and process out the things that may not come from the Word of God, and allows us to understand more deeply in a way that we may not have understood before about certain doctrines and certain things that the Word of God teaches. And so today I wanted to talk about the doctrine of regeneration. Have you ever been to a church and had no idea what they were talking about? What has been your experience with the Bible? Well, if all that sounds strange to you, I have good news. The Bible is easy to understand, provided you want to learn it. In this episode, I will discuss being born again and the doctrine of regeneration. I will describe what that word means, and I will use Bible verses to show what is needed to understand this doctrine. So you're listening to The Alternative UX. This is Blog Talk Radio. We're going live for the next 28 minutes, and the guest call-in number is 914-803-4324. And this is Mike, a.k.a. Max, and I'm coming to you from the great city of the place where there's lots of Tim Hortons. I'll just say it that way. Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to read a chapter from the Bible, and it's found, if you have a Bible there, or if you have a Bible close at hand, it's Romans, Romans chapter 10, and I'm just going to start reading. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, so I'm going to go through this verse because this really ties in to the doctrine that I want to discuss today. The author of this epistle is the Apostle Paul, and so, this epistle starts off. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Here he is referring to. Sorry, I'm having trouble with my phone. Just give me one second. Okay, much better, much better. Okay, so let's go here. Okay, starting from Romans chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation." Paul here is talking in verse 1 about the Israelites. He says he testifies about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. So basically the Israelites are very zealous for good works and getting to know who God is. But their works and their knowledge are not based, they have a zeal for God, and their zeal is not based accordance with knowledge. It's not the kind of knowledge that puffs up, which is found in other verses of the Bible. It's a different kind of knowledge. And then in verse 3, Paul goes on to say, "For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God." The way the Israelites were seeking to establish their own righteousness was through, this is where it gets kind of confusing, but hopefully stick with me and you'll understand this verse. Basically what he's saying is that they were seeking their own righteousness through the law. If you read the book of Galatians, and I'm jumping ahead here, but if you read the book of Galatians, Paul goes on to talk about how basically the law doesn't justify a sinner. And that's also found in Romans. No one will be justified by the law. And so the law can refer to any legal requirement placed on a human being or an individual that requires them to obey in a certain way. So basically when God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments, they were to point to a future sacrifice that basically was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. So even though they were trusting in their own righteousness and they had a zeal for God, they were seeking their own righteousness. They were seeking, they were not subjecting themselves to the righteousness of God. They were not trusting in God for salvation, so they were seeking their own righteousness. And then in verse 4, Paul goes on to say, "For Christ is the end of the law," like I was saying before, "Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." So Christ, Jesus Christ, God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the end of the law. So there's a verse in the New Testament which says that Christ came not to abolish the law but to fulfill it. So we don't have to keep the law. You know, we don't have to. You know, there are certain things that we are, you know, like the moral, like the Ten Commandments, we're still to keep those. Like, obviously, we're not to steal, to murder. And so if you want to, you know, what the Ten Commandments are, just look in the Old Testament. I'm sure you can find them. I'm sure you know what they are. But it's not talking about that law. Christ came to fulfill the legal requirements that basically say that in order for us to be right with God, we have to be perfect or we have to be sinless. That's what it means when it says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And then in verse 5, it goes on to say, "For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness." That's just kind of like saying, "My name is Mike." It's a statement, a factual statement. Verse 5 in Romans chapter 10 is a factual statement. And then it says in verse 6, "But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down." Verse 7, "Or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead." But what does it say? "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching." Okay, I'm going to go back. Verse 5 is a factual statement when he says Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on the law, shall live by that righteousness. So that's why the Pharisees were so outraged at what Christ was teaching, because he was basically saying that man does not have to keep the law in order to be saved. And he gave many stories and parables that outraged them, because he was showing that a sinner can go to heaven. And to them, you had to be so righteous in order to achieve paradise, just to achieve reconciliation with God. So that's what it says. That's what it means when it says the righteous, he who practices the law will live by it. So, yeah, of course they're going to live by it, because that's all they believe in, and they think that their righteousness, their own righteousness, is what God is going to accept. But in fact, that's not what this chapter is saying. So if we go down to verse 6, Romans chapter 10, it says, but the righteousness based on faith, now this is a different kind of righteousness. This is the kind of righteousness that God will acknowledge. And this is the righteousness that Jesus taught. The righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. All right, so you're not to say this if you want the kind of righteousness that God accepts. You're not to say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? And that is to bring Christ down. Okay, so, and you're not to say who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. In other words, you don't have to go to heaven to have the kind of faith that God requires, and you don't have to go to hell to have the same kind of faith that God requires in order for you to be forgiven. Verse 8, but what does it say, talking about the righteousness of faith? What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That, and verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he or she confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord, referring to Jesus, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. We have to be careful how we use the word Lord, because if we're just referring to Jesus as our Savior, but he's not really our Lord, then we don't have a full understanding of the deity of Christ and who Jesus actually is, who the Bible says Jesus is. So when it says here in verse 9, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Right? So you have to understand that there has to be faith involved in this profession of, that's why it's called the profession of faith. Many churches profess the lordship of Jesus Christ, but they don't believe that in their hearts. And that's why it says here in Romans 10:9, not only do you have to confess Jesus as Lord, but you need to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then it says, then you will be saved. Verse 10 says, for with the heart, this is important now, so listen closely, for with the heart a person believes, right, not just intellectual belief, but a person believes, resulting in righteousness, right? This is back to verse 6, but the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, right? And then it says that, like what I was explaining before, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Okay, so if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with, this is important now, listen to this verse, verse 10, Romans chapter 10. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he or she confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him, this is also found in the Old Testament, this verse here, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. That means that they will be eternally saved. Their sins will be forgiven forever. Their past sins, their present sins, and their future sins, all of their sins will be forgiven. That's what it means when it says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction, right? There's no distinction between Jew and Greek, that we would be considered a Greek, for Jew and Greek, for the same Lord, again, that's a reference to Christ as God, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him, call on Jesus. There's that song, you know, when I call on Jesus, that song. This is how you do it. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Then I'm going to skip down or just jump down to verse 14, Romans chapter 10, verse 14. And that says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they, verse 15, how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Verse 16, and this is like a really bad verse, so hopefully you don't fall into this verse. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Now this is important, this verse right here, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Verse 19, but I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? And Paul goes on to write, first Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you. He's referring to the Gentiles here. And Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. Verse 21. But as for Israel, he says, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. So Christ did come to save both Jews and Gentiles, and both of them are saved in the same way. And if we look at this chapter here in Romans, Paul first goes on to address how our own righteousness is not enough to have right standing with God, basically to be right in God's sight. It's not our own moral standing that makes us forgiven, right? Because a lot of people will say, well, I'm a good person, so therefore God has forgiven me. You don't have to be a bad person in order for God to forgive you, but at the same time, you have to understand that it's not your morality that makes you acceptable to God. It's your faith that makes all the difference. So when you have faith in your heart that confesses Jesus as Lord, and you believe in your, and also you believe in your heart that God raised him, Jesus, from the dead, you will be saved. It says here, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he or she confesses, resulting in salvation. So you have to confess that Jesus is Lord, and you need to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Part of we don't fully understand quite yet is what I just sort of explained. And it's not an intellectual thing. It's not I have to sort of, you know, muster enough faith in my heart in order to be forgiven or in order to believe. And that's where the regeneration or rumination comes into effect. Excuse me. We don't need to ruminate on the fact that Jesus is Lord. We need to muster our faith if that's necessary. But this is a one-time confession. And when we have faith in what Jesus did for us on the cross, when he paid the penalty for our sin, we have faith in that. And because he died for our sins, we can now confess him as our Lord. He then becomes our Savior as well. So I hope that clears something up. And that has a lot to do, that's Romans chapter 10, and that has a lot to do with the doctrine of regeneration. Now I'm going to talk for a little bit about what that doctrine actually is, because you've heard the term sort of maybe in cultural circles, or maybe even at church you've heard this term. People have asked you, or they've told you that they're a born again Christian, and you've kind of wondered what that actually means. Maybe you are a born again Christian, and you would like to know more about what it means to be born again. That's where the doctrine of regeneration comes in. Because without our spirits being regenerated, we would not be alive to the things of God. And when I say to the things of God, I basically mean to the Word of God and to spiritual life. So we would be dead. This is kind of, I don't mean physically here, but I mean spiritually, we would not be alive spiritually. So the doctrine of regeneration is the doctrine of the new birth. And if you belong to a church, you've probably noticed that there's a lot of people who profess their faith through baptism. There is something called baptismal regeneration, but that's not an evangelical doctrine. It's not quite an evangelical doctrine. Although there are some Reformed churches who believe that baptismal regeneration is something that is necessary, and I really don't want to talk about that, because it does, nowhere in the scriptures does it says that you have to be baptized in order to be saved. Baptism is a symbol of our new birth in Christ, and our new birth in Christ is what I'm talking about right now. Our new birth in Christ is described as regeneration, as spiritual birth. So there is a verse in the Bible which basically says right, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when we realize that we're sinners and we repent of our sins and receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, the doctrine of regeneration says that our spirits, because there is a verse also which says that before we repented, we were dead in our trespasses and in our sins. So what does that mean when it says we're dead in our trespasses and our sins? Because obviously, when we're born, we're not born and then we die. But what the Bible calls original sin, that means that when we're born with a sin nature. We're born in original sin. And that means we're separated from God, because sin separates us from God. So when you become a born-again Christian, all that really means is that Christ, or the Holy Spirit, now lives within your spirit. And instead of trying to do things on your own, and instead of trying to be right in God's sight through your own morality, we now have a new law that's written upon our hearts. And I believe you probably know that verse if you're familiar with the Bible. And so being born again means that we follow God's moral law. We're not without law, but we follow God's moral law. And when we follow God's moral law, we will automatically confess Jesus as Lord. We will believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, and we will be born again. Born-again Christians is not just a cultural thing. It's what the Bible actually teaches sinners in order for them to go to heaven. So the reason why we need to know our Bibles now is because we need to make sure that we're not just believing a set of principles here, but that we're actually becoming new creations in Christ. And so that's why I read Romans chapter 10, because in Romans chapter 10, it actually goes on to explain how a person becomes a new creation in Christ. A lot of people will refer to other verses in the Bible which say that all we need to do to be saved is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's true, but that's what Romans chapter 10 is actually describing. Because let me ask you a question. How could we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ if we're not confessing him as Lord? Right? Think about that one. If we're confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and believing, there's the word, believing in our hearts, that, and I think you got it now, believing in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So the doctrine of regeneration, let me just go back and see if I've cleared some things up here. Have you ever been to a church and had no idea what they were talking about? Well, yeah, that makes sense now, because if my spirit hasn't been born again, then I'm not going to understand the Bible. So I'm just going to be sitting there and kind of taking what the pastor or the preacher is saying, but I'm not going to be understanding what he's saying. Excuse me. What has been your experience with the Bible? That's another thing. I'll just leave it there. Well, if all that sounds strange to you, I have good news for you. The Bible is easy to understand, provided you want to learn it. And in this episode, I hope I discussed being born again and the doctrine of regeneration. I wanted to describe what the word means, regeneration. That just means that your spirit is regenerated. You can look in the dictionary for the definition of regeneration or regenerated, and I think that just means to be renewed or be... the term born again actually in the Greek in the New Testament means being born from above. So that's where we get the term born again. It means being born from above. So, but the word regeneration, you can look that up, and I'm sure it just means to renew or something, to regenerate. I wanted to describe what the word means, and I used a Romans chapter 10 to the verses in Roman Bible verses to show what is needed to understand this doctrine. So, with that said, having a Bible knowledge is good, but if it doesn't lead us to new life in Christ, and how do we get that new life in Christ? Well, we need to understand that Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, and we need to confess, as Romans chapter 10 says, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead. When we do that, you could do that now if you wanted to. You could press pause on this podcast, or if you're listening live, you can step away from here, and you can pray, not just in your heart, but you can confess that Jesus is Lord. And when you believe that in your heart, and you believe that God raised him from the dead in your heart, you will be saved. And the Bible goes on to say that you will not be disappointed. So many strange doctrines out there about the lordship of Jesus Christ. People believe that when the Bible says he was just the Son of God, or he was God's Son, and that's true. He was God's Son, but we need to believe not just in Jesus Christ. We need to believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ actually is. And I'll just give a warning: if you're thinking that the Catholic Church teaches that, well, maybe I should just be careful here. But if you're thinking that the Catholic Church believes in being born again, they actually do, but they believe in baptismal regeneration. And in other words, when a child or an infant or even an adult is baptized, that's when they enter into new life in Jesus Christ. I think I've done a show on baptismal regeneration in somewhere in my archives, but if you want to know what evangelicals believe about being born again, you can just go back and read through Romans chapter 10 and understand that we don't need to be baptized in order to get saved, but we do need to confess Jesus as Lord, and we need to believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead. Anyways, that's the end of the show, folks, and I want to thank you for listening to the show for on Super Bowl Sunday. This is Mike, a.k.a. Max, signing off and wishing you a very good day, morning, or evening, whenever you listen to the show. Thanks very much, and bye.